WEEI Studios, the home of the Red Sox. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
This hour of the Bradfo Show with Rob Bradford is brought to you by Feldman Geospatial. They get it right from the ground up at FeldmanGeo.com.
Bradfo Show.
That's my open?
That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford.
That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradfo Show.
That's delicious.
All right, let's go. Let's go, Stiz. McFarland.
Let's go, McFarland.
All right. I'm live from JetBlue Park down in Fort Myers. This is Rod Bradford. We're getting going here for the big final hour of the Bradfo Show. A little bit later, we're going to have on Chris Hadfield of SoxProspects.com, the guy. Just got back from St. Petersburg, where basically the dream team of the Red Sox minor leagues played under the dome in Tropicana Field. But first things first, we're going to talk a little bit about the WBC. We've already led into this with some sound from Alex Cora and from Joe Kelly about the Edwin Diaz situation. But the guy when it comes to the WBC is Sean Spradling of WBC Central and Baseballs and Boring. Sean, what's going on, my friend?
How's it going, Rob? This has been a wild last week and a half or so, and it's only going to get crazier with these semifinals and then final these next few days.
All right, so you were in Arizona, and first of all, I mean, you're a celebrity there. I mean, I saw you taking pictures with people. This has been a wild ride for you. Was it what you thought? You went down to the games in Arizona and Phoenix, the WBC games. Was it what you thought it would be? This is a fun WBC question we say to everybody. Was it what you thought it would be when you got there?
Yeah, well, it was a lot. As you know, I already had really high expectations for the WBC. I've been covering it now for over a year, it seems like, and I've never had actually the opportunity to go in person. So going to my first couple games in Phoenix for Pool C, seeing Team USA, seeing Mexico beat Team USA, Great Britain get their first win in WBC history. It was a blast, and honestly, it met and exceeded my expectations, man. It was wild. Like, everybody, all of the fans, all the different cultures that were represented there, it was just such a blast to see everybody kind of mingle and get together and know each other. I mean, you're right. There were people that everybody's flocking around John Morosi. He's kind of known as the international baseball guy. But then there was the one-off of being like, oh, that's Sean. He also knows WBC things.
Oh, yeah.
And then would come up to me and take a picture. So that was a lot of fun.
So let me ask you this. Now, we've talked leading up to this about your power rankings and your expectations, and we looked at the rosters. What is the team that has surprised you? And maybe it's a team that didn't even advance. Maybe it's a team that did okay and you know, represented themselves well. Or maybe it's a team that is still in the tournament. But what was a team that sort of you didn't see coming?
Yeah, I think so. The team that, if you look at my power rankings, the team that has the biggest difference, the highest seed or ranking compared to what I ranked them, was Australia. I had Australia almost at the bottom. Like, they weren't quite the worst team. I think I had them like 17th or 18th or so. The hard part for me was that they were losing. They lost out on their best pitcher in Liam Hendricks because of his situation. And then Curtis Meade, their best bat, he was also not playing. So I thought, like, they have a decent winter league in Australia, but compared to the top two teams in that pool of Japan and Korea, there was no way they were going to make it out. Well, they beat Korea, and they made it out of the pool and made it to the quarterfinals for the first time in Australian baseball history. So they were definitely ones that surprised me the most. I think the team that most people were surprised by or have been is Mexico. But I've been talking about Mexico for months now of them being one of the more underrated teams in this tournament. So that one didn't surprise me quite as much.
All right, this is Sean Spradling, Sean_Spradling also. You can catch his podcast on Baseballs and Boring, WBC Central. So when you look at the teams now, this is what we have staring at us smack in the face. And you're going to Miami, right? You just told me this. You correct?
Yep, I'll be there for – I'm leaving tomorrow, so I'll be there for the semifinals and the final.
Awesome. So What is the – so when we're walking around the complex here in Fort Myers, and I'm talking about this, and believe me, Sean, you know, I send you some sound from Cora and a lot of these people, and I want to get into the Edwin Diaz thing a little bit later. But yeah. As we sit here right now, I say – and this is not an educated opinion nearly as you would give – but I say, well, man, Team Japan looks great. I mean, Japan looks really, really good. I mean, Japan looks like they are the cream of the crop. For you, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be Japan, the team that I'm most excited for. I'm so excited to see them play in person because I've seen a lot of the players in MLB on the Venezuelan team. The obviously Team USA. I've been watching them for years, just getting to know. Like the Mike Trouts and Mookie Betts, Trey Turners of the team. But a lot of those Japanese players, I am kind of more new to learning about as of the last year or so in NPB. And they are just top to bottom. That roster is loaded. And if you look at the way that their pitching is lined up through the rest of the tournament, they only got two games left. They've already pitched Shohei Ohtani in the last game in the quarterfinals against Italy. He was lights out. And so he won't be pitching anymore this tournament. He'll still be DHing. But then you move on, and there's no drop-off in quality. In the semifinals, Roki Sasaki, who is, like, the next generational, like, high-profile prospect that will he's not even a prospect. He's one of the top pitchers in Japan already. He'll be coming over to U.S. in the next few years after he's able to be posted. He'll be starting in the semifinals against Mexico. If he isn't able to go too long or too far into it, the best pitcher in Japan, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, will come in to relieve him. So he's won this Cy Young equivalent in Japan the last 2 years. And then if they do have to pitch both of those two guys in the semi, well, then Yu Darvish is lined up to start the last game in the championship. So there's just – it is top to bottom. Their lineup is loaded. Their pitching staff is incredible. I would not be surprised if they won it all.
All right, so you also – you talked to Mookie Betts there. You talked to a lot of guys at the tournament, but you talked to Mookie Betts, and people around here always like to hear from Mookie. And it was interesting when Alex Cora – and Alex loves talking WBC. Holy mackerel, does he love talking WBC. But he was talking – we were talking a little bit about the USA people buying in more. Certainly they've bought in more just by the fact that they're playing. More guys like Trout are playing. But – he had said, you hear Mookie's tone. You hear, whether it's in a press conference, whether it's talking to you on the field, whatever it is. But could you get that vibe from him? Because honestly, Sean, like Mookie can be so like, whatever. Doesn't make him a bad guy, but he can be that way. Did you get that vibe of like, oh my goodness, like is the adrenaline's coursing through my veins right now?
Oh, it was shocking to me because when I did get a chance to interview him on the field, and that was awesome, getting to talk to him, hear from him about what his experience has been in the WBC. But it was exactly what you said. He was more like, yeah, it's been cool. Like, I've loved being around these guys. And that was pretty much it. And I was like, all right, well, sweet. He's just a more chill guy. But then, and I highly encourage anyone that hasn't seen this interview that's listening right now to go watch it or hear it. After that game against Colombia, when USA beat Colombia to make it to the quarterfinals, both Trout and Mookie were in the press conference room. And Mookie, I've never seen that much like a passion come out of him in an interview. He was straight up. He was like, you have to play in these games. If you are a baseball player in MLB, you gotta come play. This is the most fun I've ever had. Like, I am having an absolute blast. And Trout was the same way. They were both like, this is the time of my life. And I've never experienced something like this in baseball. It's just, it's something that Morosi and I talked about on the podcast, is something fundamentally changes in your mindset when you have your country on your chest and your flag on your sleeve, as opposed to playing for your club. Obviously, that's the big money maker, but it's just a different mindset, and it just feels different to play for your country with the people from your country.
And it's two guys that you mentioned who everyone point to of like, that's the problem, right? Typically, like, that's the problem. You have two of the best players in your sport and they're not showing enough of the personality. Like, well, that's, you know, that is who they are. But here they are getting up there, and yes, they're showing the best version of their personality, the version of the personality. We say, Mike Trout, please play in a playoff game so you can show some emotion. Thank you, WBC. But the last thing, Sean, is I have to get to the Edwin Diaz thing because it stretches to in so many different ways when it comes to this tournament, including exactly what we're talking about. We just played sound from Cora earlier today, said just listen to players. If you think this is a problem, just listen to players, what they're saying. And we had Joe Kelly come on, and he's talking about, it's like, it's ridiculous to suggest that this should, like, turn people away from this tournament, that the WBC should be disbanded because of something like Edwin Diaz. From your perspective, what is your take on the Edwin Diaz stuff?
Yeah, and, I mean, it's so hard because that was such a brutal injury and just such a freak thing that, like, no one would expect. Of course, it was in the celebration after the game. It wasn't even in the game. But, I mean, I've tried to stay away from a lot of the Twitter discourse just because it's been so heated over the last 2 days. I think, for me, it really does boil down to, similar to what Cora said, I'm a fan of the game. I love covering this tournament. But if you want to know what the future of the WBC is, even with this sort of injury, go to the players. They're the ones that are going to be playing in this. And if the stars are on board, then it's not going away anytime soon. You got the Trout and the Mookie interview that we just talked about. Their answers were in response to a reporter asking them about the Edwin Diaz situation. They were both like, man, that sucks. That's like a really hard injury to deal with. But at the same time, this is like the best baseball environment I've ever been in. So like that was their natural response to it. So I'm only inclined to think that it's going to continue to grow if those guys, the highest profile players in our sport, Shohei Ohtani is also playing in it. Like three of the top guys in our sport are fully on board. I don't see it going away anytime soon. I'm of the opinion that I think that it is inevitable that baseball is going to continue to grow internationally. And so trying to halt the WBC or, I guess, complain or make arguments or points about why it's not as good for MLB is a little it's just delaying the inevitable. I think it's going to happen eventually to where it does truly become the Baseball World Cup. It's just a slow process as we get more used to international baseball.
Yeah, Sean, and my take is, like, we can't be hypocrites, right? It's a flawed tournament. It's fine. I mean, it's we've talked about there's no perfect place to play it or where the time to play it. But when we're talking about the fight for our lives when it comes to the sport of baseball, and go back a year ago when everyone's screaming and yelling baseball is going to die because of the lockout, and we're sitting here and we're trying to say, no, baseball is really good. Look at the rules have changed and this is going to help. But still, we have to get the demographic younger and younger and younger. We can't be hypocrites. Yep. This is the WBC is the perfect launching pad for the 2023 season, right?
Yep, exactly. It is, this WBC is reaching every demographic that MLB hopes to, both men and women, all ages, across the world, people are watching. There's 50 million people watching an exhibition game that Japan's playing in over in Japan. This last game against Italy, this Japanese game was the most watched game ever in Japanese national team history. The Puerto Rican team, it was like 60% of households, 65% of households watched the Dominican Puerto Rican game in all of Puerto Rico. This is, I think that the hard part is people that grew up with MLB as Major League Baseball is their baseball have a hard time because it can cause injuries or issues with the MLB season leading up to that. But I think so as we realize that there's so much more high quality baseball around the world, and WBC is the best way to grow that. It's going to grow MLB as well as NPB, KBO, and all of these different leagues around the world.
Absolutely. All right, Sean, man, keep up the good work. You're on fire. Sean_Spradling, WBC Central at Baseballs and Boring. Podcasts are coming. Safe journeys down to Miami. I just went down to Miami just to hang out around the park the other day. And it's going to be a scene. I mean, that was for the Puerto Rico Dominican game, but these are going to be next level. So, hey, so if anyone deserves to have a good time there, it's you. So enjoy yourself and safe journey, Sean.
Thank you so much. Everybody tune in to Baseball Isn't Boring because we are going to be covering it in person over the semifinals and the final. I can't wait.
Let's go. All right. All right, Sean. Sean Spradling. All right. That was some great WBC talk. And coming up next, Chris Hatfield of SoxProspects.com just got back from Tampa. We talked about – we had John Schreiber pitching the mound in front of us, and literally like a pitch clock away, he just sprinted up to the broadcast booth. That's what we do. Chris just drove straight from Tampa or St. Petersburg, came to the booth to give us a report on what happened. In case people don't know, the Red Sox had a split squad, and the team that was playing up in St. Pete – I think absolutely was more interesting than the team played here. And there's no better person to talk about it than Chris Hatfield. Thanks to Sean Spradling. Thanks to John Schreiber for already joining. Thanks to Stiz. You know what? I'm thanking him ahead of time because he's going to give you a trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
It was reported yesterday that Dolphins tight end Mike Gesicki has agreed to terms on a one-year deal worth up to $9 million with the New England Patriots, per sources informed of the agreement. The 27-year-old tight end spent his first five seasons with the Miami Dolphins, generating 231 catches and 18 touchdowns. Gesicki replaces Jonnu Smith, who was traded from New England to Atlanta earlier this week. NFL Network's Tom Pelissero is also reporting that the Patriots and Lions special teams player Chris Board have agreed to a two-year deal worth up to $6.7 million. The Celtics beat the Trailblazers in Oregon last night, 126-112. Jason Tatum did play despite a hip injury, having 34 points, 12 rebounds, and 4 assists. The Seas continue their road trip tonight, taking on the Jazz, tip-off at 9 p.m. The Red Sox had two split-squad games today. They beat the Rays 3-1 and the Orioles 9-6. Sox spring training continues tomorrow when they'll take on the Phillies, first pitch at 1:05. And your Boston Bruins took on the Wild in Minnesota. The score was 5-2, Boston Bruins winning 5-2. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
The Bradfo Show on WEEI. WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Says she tired, little money, need a big boy. Pull up 20-inch blades like I'm Lil Troy.
What's this, Stiz?
Post Malone, your favorite.
Oh, it is. I just got some tattoos on my face the other day. I mean,
it's a great look.
It's debatable. I mean, some people think they're tattoos. I don't think they're just like hideous marks. Anyway, this is the Bradford Show. I'm Rob Bradford, live from JetBlue Park with the Red Sox. Big 9-6 win over the Orioles. That was one collection of Red Sox playing in a game. The other collection was up at Tropicana Field. Basically, they left everybody back and let everybody who is a prospect play up in Tropicana Field to experience what it is like for the American League East environment in a Tampa Bay Rays game. And fortunately, we had boots on the ground. Chris Hatfield.
Yeah, man.
SoxProspects.com. Always a highlight of spring training when we have you on. And always a highlight when we see you guys down here, man. You guys, this is you. When you guys come down, when the Sox Prospects guys come down and start milling around the field, and I don't know if you saw my wife back there yesterday holding a Bud Light in the backfield, wearing a baseballs and boring T-shirt.
No, I wish I had.
No, she was undercover. She was like, she was grading out the fastball of actually, she was timing Alex Pinellas to first base at his request.
Fair.
But anyway, you have had a good time down here?
It's good, yeah. We got in Wednesday night. Unfortunately, we came in to a Thursday off day for all of camp except for Chris Sale and a handful of guys
out here. Did you watch Chris Sale? He's a prospect.
No, I mean, he's pitched about as much in the major leagues the last three years as any of the prospects have. But no, we didn't get out here for that, but we were out on the backfields yesterday. I came in here actually to watch a little bit of this game yesterday at the Major League Park. And then, yeah, we had three guys over at the Twins Complex today.
Okay.
I went up to St. Petersburg because we got the word yesterday that there's this all-prospect team going up to St. Pete. And, you know, I always say spring training is perfect for us because it's one-stop shopping for the entire system.
Yeah.
Right? We have everyone out back on the backfields in one place.
It's basically like Arizona Major League spring training. Like Florida spring Major League spring training stinks.
It does.
Because you have to, as you found out today, you have to drive. How long did it take you? What's the drive?
How long do I want to admit that
it took? Yeah. Just, you know, like,
it's supposed to take 2 hours.
2 hours.
But when I got the text from Rob Bradford.
Oh, my goodness.
And he says 5 o'clock, I pinned it. I tried and I didn't make it. But no, I mean, it's
fortunately, we
it's
pay,
a hike.
Everyone knows the Bradford Show pays for all speeding tickets.
Well, I wish I'd known that. I would have done 100.
That's common knowledge. But it's a hike to go anywhere.
It's a hike, yeah. And it's funny. I've been tracking the lineups this spring, and there are literally two different lineups for home game and road games, mm-hmm. where you know the home lineup is the guys. And the road lineup is like Greg Allen leading off.
Oh, believe me,
Raymond
I know.
Tapp. It's yeah. So it's but it's just that's every team does that now.
Yeah.
You know. So the Rays today they're starting Shane McClanahan, who is one of the better pitchers in the American League.
Yeah.
Facing 19-year-old Miguel Blaze as the first batter
right
of the
out
day.
Out of the gate. So what this as you said, you went up to St. Petersburg to Tropicana Field because that's where the Rays have located their spring training this year.
Right.
And. So the lineup that they came out with, the Red Sox came out with,
yes,
was leading off.
I got it right here.
Okay, leading off was the guy. Put it this way,
mm-hmm.
in your without looking it up,
yes,
your top two guys were leading off today, right?
Top two guys who aren't over here.
Over here, okay.
Because Casas is our number two.
Casas number two.
Because it's a guy who's going to be hitting in the top half of a major league order.
Exactly.
He's going to graduate May 1 probably.
But the two guys who are starting in the minor
Meyer
leagues.
But it's Meyer and
Blaze. So Blaze laid off. Miguel Blaze, who everyone, believe me, you could take a video. I was out in the backfield, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was like I came in and I'm milling around the batting cage. And there's Miguel Blaze. Oh, number 44, Miguel Blaze. I'm going to get out my camera and take video. And Eddie Romero comes around the corner and he's like, oh, I wonder who you're here to see. I'm like, I only give what the people want, you know?
Yep.
Miguel Blaze is – if we're going to talk about guys that people, sort of Red Sox fans, are thirsty to see,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if Miguel Blaze has usurped Marcelo Meyer, but it's pretty close.
So here's the comparison, right? Meyer is no question the better prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Meyer has a much higher floor. He's going to start the year in high A Greenville. He had a very good first full season last year in Salem and Greenville, low A and high A. Number four pick overall in the draft. I think it's him and Jordan Lawler is who the best player is right now from that draft. He could be in AAA by the end of the year. That's not crazy.
No.
There's nothing he does poorly. He doesn't necessarily have the tool set that jumps off the page at you, but he has the look, not just that he looks like Vince from Entourage,
right.
but he has the look. Like, you see him on the field in a very talented Salem team last year that
right.
had a lot of really interesting guys. He still stands out. No, he's a no-question shortstop for me. Can field the position, great arm. Potential above average to better hit and power tools. The only thing he doesn't really do is run, but he mm-hmm. does it average to maybe a little below average. But he can still – he has good range and short and everything. Blaze has much wider error bars. He might never make it to AAA, for all we know. But he also – you know, it's funny. He said he wants to model his game like Ronald Acuna the other day.
Yeah.
That's kind of a, like, best – situation comp I threw on him like a couple days prior. So hearing him say that, I felt very
there
valid.
You go. All right.
It's a potential 5-tool package in center field. He can field out there. He's got an arm. He's got speed, and he loves to use it. He's got swagger, which I love.
Oh, well, like, and so this is before you go on.
Yeah.
This is a thing when you see him,
mm-hmm.
which is, first of all, number 44, which jumps out to you, right?
Yeah.
A lot of yellow.
Like, yeah, in the arm guard. On the backfield yesterday, someone said from the Braves team that was here, like, he's got the yellow arm guard. That's how you know he's a prospect.
Yeah.
I swear to God. It was like their manager.
He's got yellow in the cleats, yellow.
Yeah.
And, you know, a ton of tattoos already. He has, like, up close. I mean, and I guess everybody has tattoos. Like, that's old man yelling at cloud, but that's how I identify prospects. How many tattoos you have in science. But he has that look to your point, the swagger.
He does, and he stands out in those games. And this year he's going to get his first taste of full season ball. He might struggle a little bit out of the gate because he's seeing better breaking balls, better off speed, better location from pitchers than he's ever seen. He's 19, right? But that said, the ceiling is there that I would not be surprised if he is a top 50 or better prospect.
There's
the
not another guy in the Red Sox system that has his ceiling.
No. No question. No. You could argue Meyer might be close to it, but it's like Meyer's value comes from his much, 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 much higher floor.
Mm-hmm.
Blaze, I think, has the highest ceiling in the system. No question. I'm with you. I think the package is there. It could also fail spectacularly, potentially. I don't think it will,
mm-hmm.
but you have to acknowledge that possibility is there.
Is there another guy? Because every time, as I said, you know, I focus on we're chasing Miguel Blaze around.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Eddie Romero or someone, rightfully so, will like, hey, how come you aren't watching this guy? How come you aren't watching that guy?
Sure.
Give me another guy who is of that ilk.
Okay.
That we aren't that the average Red Sox fan finally haven't got around to pronouncing their name.
Well, maybe there are guys who the pronouncing thing would be one thing, yeah. But one guy that stands out to me is a pitcher, Luis Perales.
Okay.
He's going to be in Salem this year to start. He was not a big bonus baby like Blaze was. Blaze got the 7-figure bonus. Perales did not. And Eddie Romero, to speak of the devil, and his international scouting team have done a terrific job of finding guys on low bonuses. You know, we hear every year, why aren't the Red Sox signing among the top 10
right.
signing bonuses? It's because they do a good job finding guys on lower bonuses.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. And Brian Bayo or...
Yeah, Bayo didn't get a huge bonus. Mata was 5 figures. Darwinson Hernandez. Like, I could list the guys. Say Don Rafaela, another guy who's a top prospect right now. All 5-figure bonuses. Perales, 5-figure bonus. The one thing we haven't seen from him is that he hasn't gone more than 3 innings yet. He was injured for almost all of his season in the Dominican Summer League. Last year, they really babied him to work him back from that. But some of the most exciting stuff in the system.
And how old?
Probably 19 as well.
19,
he's 18
yeah. Okay,
or 19.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he was the same class as Blaze.
Okay.
Fastball, mid to upper 90s already. Unreal breaking ball. Basically, the feedback we got from scouts last year is that Blaze was the best player in the Florida Complex League.
Mm.
Perales was the best pitcher.
Okay.
But because he has not had those innings yet, we have not seen what he can do. Like, will he hold the stuff in the fifth? We honestly don't know. So that's something we're going to wait to see from him. We've got him 10th. He's the guy that we are highest on compared to everybody else right now who does rankings. And it's because part of it is just we're taking the chance on him. We acknowledge the risk, but there's risk with every pitcher at this point.
Sure.
But I think if he clicks this year, he's a guy who jumps from, we've got him 10 right now, he jumps up, and he could be our top pitching prospect in the system by mid-year if he's showing the stuff he showed last year into the fourth, fifth inning.
Okay, so one of the great things about, and you know this, we show up to work here at JetBlue Park, Fenway South, whatever you want to call it, and literally it's like the sea of guys.
Yep.
And they walk by you and they say good morning, and then you immediately turn and see their name on their back.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because they're wearing these like sort of really cheap t-shirts. They say Red Sox, but they have their name on the back.
Yep.
And like, oh, I remember that guy. You know, he was drafted here. I remember that guy who was drafted here. And that's the cool thing. And then you go see him play in the backfields. So, you know, one of the noteworthy thing I have seen from these guys who, when we're waiting outside the clubhouse and watching these guys work out, they have taken these two guys, and I've seen them work. I don't know what the reason is, but they have taken these two guys and seem to be working with them more individually on the side. And I know they would say, no, you know, like Brian Abraham, the farm director, would say, well, you're just watching at the right time. I don't know. All I know is this.
Okay.
Nick York.
And Mikey Romero.
And Mikey Romero.
Okay. The bad-ish news is the reason they're doing that is
they're hurt.
York is very, what we hear is very close to coming into games. He had some back stiffness earlier in camp, which, okay, it might be minor, but at this point with Nick York, it's kind of like he had the shoulder before he got drafted. He had 3 different injuries last year.
By the way,
year.
I like the fact that you finished my that's how.
As soon as you started talking about two guys off to the side, because I saw this yesterday.
Yeah,
too.
That's how in tune you are.
We're in tune, Rob. No. It's those two guys because they're both in that next. So there's a clear top four for us. Meyer, Casas, Blaze, Sadon, Rafaela.
Yep.
After that, you've got this crew of like Brian Mata, Mikey Romero, Nick York. We've seen Mata in Major League Camp. We have not seen very much of York or Romero this year. Romero was the first round pick last year. York was the first round pick in 2020. Both middle infielders. York is second base only. Romero has a chance to stick it short. Both hit tool is the best tool. There's a very easy kind of comparison slash grouping to make with those two. York had some back stiffness earlier in camp, but he hit yesterday in a live batting practice thrown by a pitcher named Bradley Blaylock, who's coming back from Tommy John. So he seems like he must be very close because he was working out pretty hard.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the reason why I thought usually that's the case where they're hurt, but they were working out to a level of – and even Mike –
I saw the same thing you did.
Even Mike Romero was taking some grounders with Marcelo Meyer and things like that. And Mike Romero is a guy, as you said, he was the first-round draft pick from last year.
Yep.
And I do want to ask you about him. We've got to go to a break, but I do want to ask you about him – because you hear murmurs of like, oh, I heard this from somebody.
Okay.
I don't know if they know what they're talking about, but hey, a scout told me they like Mike Romero better than Marcelo Meyer, right? Now, I will say this. I will say this is that, like you said with Marcelo Meyer, you aren't going to find a guy who looks the part more than Marcelo Meyer.
No.
Mike Romero is not as big as Marcelo Meyer.
Nope.
And he's smaller, which doesn't mean that he can't play shortstop.
No.
And then you have, like, Nick York, like you said, a guy who I remember in that first, in the COVID year, mm-hmm. had gained some weight. We could see he had gained some weight, lost the weight, came to camp, major league camp, mm-hmm. and was really, really good, mm-hmm. and now has hit some roadblocks and everything yes. else, and is a very sturdy-looking guy,
yes.
right?
Yes. His family, he has two brothers playing college baseball right now, and they're sturdy would be the generous way.
Okay.
They are large.
Do you think he sticks at second base?
I don't know. So here's the thing with the new rules with shifting. It's a lot harder to stash a guy at second base.
Right. You can't do the Mike Moustakas or
no,
Travis Shaw.
You can't just stick a guy there and just play the shortstop behind second base to cover for him. So I think that's going to make it a lot tougher for him to stick. Will the athleticism stay? That's a huge question for him, not just regaining the hit tool, which is the primary question. But if he regains the hit tool to the point it was last year, I wouldn't feel terrible about him in left.
Oh.
Or not last year, year before.
Yeah.
He has to get that back.
Yeah.
And he's a long way from that based on what
he also had
last
the wrist
year.
Thing.
Well, he had a wrist, he had turf toe, and he had, I forget what the third
but
one was.
But in fairness, he also did an excellent TikTok video for Baseballs and Boring, so we appreciate that.
Oh, was he on the gritty?
The
Benellis.
You say it was such disgust.
I'm not a disgust. It's fine.
By the way, I will get you a T-shirt before you leave. So
I appreciate that.
Okay, this is Chris Hadfield, SoxProspects.com, a perfect guy to have on right now. Just watch the top of the top prospects play against the major leaguers. They took the Rays to school. Obviously, Red Sox are going all the way for the next 10 years. So there, mm-hmm. That's our takeaway.
The reported score was very wrong. They did not lose 3-1. They lost 3-1.
Oh, really? Okay.
The only run was a homer.
All right. And they used, but of course they used the new rules, right? Yeah, of course.
I mean, yeah.
I never know.
They use them on the backfields now too. Actually, they have pitch clocks back there. Yeah. I think for everyone except like the rookies.
So good. So good. All right. We're gonna get back to it. There's a lot to get to. We're gonna be with you, Stiz. What are we up to? What's going on? Let's let the people know how long we're on doing this show for.
We're gonna do another two breaks, Bradfo.
Oh, another two
Ooh,
breaks.
Yeah.
Huh? Okay. All right. Well, there's plenty to talk to.
Bonus Bradford.
Bonus Bradford show. That's Chris Hadfield, SoxProspects.com. We once again want to thank John Schreiber already for coming on. Sean Spradling, WBC. I want to thank Stiz. And we're going to talk to everybody. Chris, Stiz, you, if you want to call in and ask Chris some questions if you want. 617-779-7937. Be back after this.
The Bradfo Show on WEEI. WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
All right, welcome back to the Bradfo Show. This is Rob Bradford live from JetBlue Park, along with Chris Hadfield, SoxProspects.com. Let's get right back to it with Chris. So, Chris, we talked a little bit about Mikey Romero and last year's draft. This is the thing, we talk about buzz, and this is one of the great things about SoxProspects.com. I think that, you know, across baseball, people are leaning into the minor leagues more and more. But you guys were so ahead of the curve and continue to be ahead of the curve, and people in Boston, when it comes to this team, mm-hmm. I honestly, this is, you know, inside media, but if I want clicks, I talk about the guys that you talk about.
All right. Yep.
And I don't talk about the major league team. And it's partly because of the major league team that's here. Mm-hmm. There's not a ton of guys. Some guys might become interesting.
Sure.
But Adam Duvall isn't moving the needle right now.
I think fans are going to have to get used to the new guys, right? And that's the thing. And it's not like there's the build-up.
They like the what might be.
Yeah, they like the – oh, every. I mean, it's what's behind door number three.
Yes.
That's what prospecting is, right? And it's actually kind of funny you mentioned that. Our 20th anniversary is this fall.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to have a party?
I'd love to. I love parties.
Yeah, let's go. Let's have a combo book party slash 20th anniversary party.
It was kind of funny. I was here yesterday, and someone was waiting for you with the book to have you sign it, too. It was great.
I don't know why they would want my heart. The guy's like, it made him feel so, it made me feel good. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Who wants my signature on that book? It's like I'll ship it to Arizona and have Joe Kelly sign it. So yeah. But thank you for noticing.
No.
Anyway, but I want to go back to like when I'm talking about like guys people are excited about. We talk about Meyer and Blaze, but Mikey Romero is a guy that people will start.
Yes.
Progressively get excited about.
I think they will. I think that there's a small chance he won't be on like the opening day roster in Salem, but if he's not, he'll be there shortly thereafter because we mentioned he's a little dinged up right now. It's just a not something they're concerned about based on what I've heard. Mikey Romero, and I'll throw another name out there, the second round outfielder they took, Roman Anthony,
right.
who actually, I've forgotten about this, but Ian Kundle, our director of scouting, reminded me of this yesterday, got a bigger bonus than Romero did.
And by the way, you talk about looking the part.
He looks
the part.
He's huge.
Right.
I saw him yesterday out in the field. I was like, oh, that's a guy. That's what a guy looks like.
And capital G guy. And for some like inexplicable reason, his name like suggests that like it's a very powerful thing.
Yes.
Like,
I'm
Roman Anthony.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
The Roman Anthony II or something
exactly,
like that.
Exactly.
But both of those guys, and granted, very small sample size down here in the Florida Complex League, and then they got a quick bump up to Salem at the end of the year when the Complex League ended. We get access to some numbers, you know, exit velocities, chase rates, things like that. Both graded out very well in all of those things to the point where we were very excited. We were normally like to slow play the new guys in the system until we get eyes on them in person because we have the luxury of updating our rankings really whenever we want to, but we do it monthly during the season. It's not like, you know, Alex with the handbook gets one shot at it and then it's in print, right? So it's a very different calculus because we can kind of slow play Mikey Romero. We have him behind Nick York and Brian Mata right now because Mata's close to the major leagues and has great stuff and could help the major league team this year. York is in, he's probably going to start in AA. He's got that 2021 season where he showed he can do it. We haven't seen it from Mikey Romero yet, just because he hasn't had the opportunity. He hasn't had the opportunity to show it. He also hasn't had the opportunity to fail, so we kind of slow play him. But he and Roman Anthony both look so good on not chasing pitches outside of the zone, hitting, velocity, breaking balls off speed. Was able to show that he could play some short in Romero's case. That it would not surprise me if Romero comes out, if he comes out hitting and hitting well, could be a guy that jumps into our top four when you figure Casas probably graduates early. He's a guy that could move up really quick, even from being, I think we have him 7 right now. He could easily be top 4 very, very quickly in May.
So to go back to Nick York and in that draft, I find that draft fascinating.
Yes.
It was obviously only 5 rounds, Nick York being one.
Yep.
And then we talk about buzzworthy guys. Obviously, Blaze Jordan was immediately a buzzworthy guy because,
yes.
A, because of his name, and B, because of his YouTube clips of winning home run derbies as a 14-year-old.
Yep.
And then you get into some other guys who were sort of interesting. You know, I did a story on Shane Drohan, Jeremy Wu Yellen, a guy from Hawaii, a lefty guy who just had Tommy John. But that seems like such a crapshoot of a draft, right?
It is, and it's just the amount of data that teams had was different. With the York pick, we had Paul Taboni on our podcast, which if folks want to listen, we're on any, you know, wherever you listen to podcasts, we're there. And he was talking about, they did their due diligence on York, not just seeing him in person, but knowing who else had seen him because they were able to see, like, who else is here seeing this guy? And there were a lot of teams that they feel if more people had seen him in a normal spring, because keep in mind, not only was the draft truncated, the season was truncated. So York had like a month and a half long season. If he had a full season, they really felt that he was going to be a consensus first rounder when at the time of the draft, everyone was like, why are you taking him in the first round? People forget that draft, the Red Sox didn't have a second-round pick. I am of the opinion that if they had a second-round pick, they would have chanced York getting to the second-round pick because they knew no one had seen him. But when they didn't have the second-round pick, they didn't want to chance it. But then they get Jordan in the third, who's got all kinds of pop. I've got questions about whether he sticks at third. I think he's probably a first baseman. I want to see him continue to improve against velocity this year. That was a bugaboo for him, at least in the first half, three quarters of last season. Your boy, Shane, don't mess with the Drohan.
Yeah, don't mess with the Drohan.
We talked about him last year. What I'm hearing is that he's added a couple of miles per hour of velocity, which makes him very interesting. He's going to start the year in Portland. He took a giant leap forward with his changeup last year. He already had a very good curveball that I liked. If he's got 3 pitches that are above average, if he can harness that command a little bit, he becomes a very, very interesting guy. He might be a guy. I think we've got him in our top 30 right now. He might be close to 20, honestly. I think he's 22 off the top of my head, or 21. he's a guy that could easily jump up real fast if the velocity increases for real and he can keep it deep into games and he's still got above average or better change up and curve. He could move up quickly too. And Wu Yelland, I thought he was really interesting. He's probably a reliever.
Yeah.
And on a, we were just talking, a team that could use a lefty reliever right now. So, not that it would be him, but
right.
A guy that could be very interesting out of the bullpen as a lefty coming back from Tommy John. It seems like he's close. He's throwing right
But that's what I want. We got to take a break, but that's what I want to talk to you in the last segment is,
sure.
is we had news today from the Major League team. Joely Rodriguez goes down, and now you need another lefty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have Richard Bleier sitting there,
yep.
but you need another lefty, and it's going to come from guys of your ilk, guys who are
in our jurisdiction,
your jurisdiction.
Yeah, yes,
very well put. So I'm gonna ask you some candidates when it comes to that because
yep.
we're gonna be ahead of the curve. This is what people are gonna be talking about for the next couple days because mm-hmm. Joely Rodriguez, it sure looked like to me an injury that's gonna take some time. And even if it isn't, you think it's this time of year like James Paxton is missing time off of a hamstring injury.
Sure.
So I'm gonna ask you that question. We gotta take a quick break. This is the Bradford Show. That's Chris Hatfield of SoxProspects.com. I'm Rob Bradford, Stiz behind the glass. This is the Bradford Show. Be back after this.